Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting, her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voice Rising. Today, we're going to dive into how to fine-tune our body-mind-spirit system and heal through sound consciousness. We're going to discover which role the voice plays in shifting old paradigms and awakening to a vibrant life of pure presence. What is the link between chanting and happiness? The link between our voice and self-healing? And to talk about these deeper connections, we have in studio today Sirgun Kaur, sacred songstress and Kundalini yoga instructor. Sirgun has released 5 albums of sacred chants, has performed in Europe and across the United States, leading conscious wellness festivals such as Bhakti Fest. Through the exploration of her music and after a discovery of Kundalini yoga, chanting and mantra, Sirgun was led to an understanding of the transformative and healing potential of music. So Sirgun, welcome to Voice Rising, and I'm so excited to have you here with me today to dig deep into all of these exciting topics.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So I wanted to start the conversation in an easy place before we go deeper. Maybe you can just share with us one of your strongest and most beautiful childhood memories about music and singing, if music was always there for you as a child, or did you have to go seek it and chase it down?
That's the title of one of my songs, The Music Is Always There. I thought maybe you were quoting me.
It was
always there. I've been singing since birth, my mom says, and my mom is a little bit of an exaggerator, but the feeling of it is that I knew a lot of songs by heart by the time I was able to talk. So she says I knew like 15 nursery rhymes. I'm not sure if that's true, but you know, somewhere in there. I don't have a specific memory of singing. I never had an aha moment about, you know, singing. It was just always something that I did.
It was just very natural. You did the whole learning music instruments or being in the choir as a kid, or it was just part of the daily deliciousness of life.
It was more daily. Anything that I did in sort of more of an organized setting never really seemed to last. I really enjoyed, you know, going on my own. And when I was in high school, I learned piano, and I just sort of locked myself in my room and wrote songs and poetry and stuff like that. It took me a while for it to get some structure and actually share it with, you know, audiences and stuff. It was more of a personal thing for a long time.
Well, was there a turning point for you that made you realize that you wanted to connect that to the path of yoga and singing and not just go the normal path of, we know many singer-songwriters, right? They might do piano voice or guitar voice, and you're doing piano voice. Actually, I've seen you doing a lot of harmonium and voice. but more connected to your path as a Kundalini yoga instructor and the path of Kundalini yoga was, when did that happen for you that you decided to go into singing mantras and chants and writing?
So
you write your own
music. I was writing my own music before I moved to Los Angeles. I'm from Los Angeles, but I had been living on the East Coast, and I moved back with the idea that I would pursue my music career as a singer-songwriter. And I was writing songs and performing them all over the East Coast. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to go to LA and pursue that. And when I got there, I did it for a little while. And then I can't really explain what happened. I mean, now I know it was like, I just lost my heart for it. I seem to, on a subconscious level, recognize that I wasn't doing myself any favors by chanting these sad stories over, or I wasn't chanting, but you know what I mean? Singing these sad stories over and over again. And so I just decided to stop singing altogether for a period of time. So I had this sort of musical silence, which I'd never done ever. And in that musical silence, I found other forms of music, and I found mantra music. So I found mantra music in the bhakti tradition, and that was also around the time that I discovered Kundalini yoga. So it didn't click for me for a while that I would be doing that, but I fell in love with it. And someone in a yoga teacher training that I was taking for children actually invited me to the biggest Kundalini yoga gathering that there is, a summer solstice in New Mexico, as a musician, because he knew that I was a singer. And so I was also invited by this woman, CC White, who's a Kirtan artist in another tradition, to sing backup vocals for her. So I was invited to sing these mantras, and I felt something completely different than when I was singing songs, or at least the songs I was singing. And it was a really powerful shift, and it was a really different way for me to use music than I ever had before. And it was really exciting.
Beautiful. It sounds like you are almost guided, simply guided to be where you're at now, right? It wasn't complicated. You were invited. You got the sweet taste of what it feels like, and there you were. And then you understood, when you felt so comfortable sharing your heart and sharing your voice, that that might just be the path. Maybe it doesn't have to be so complicated, right? Maybe the music industry doesn't have to be complicated. Maybe it can be... maybe we can create beautiful ways of living that is based on meditation and silence and also sound and beautiful gatherings. And we don't need to be in competitive auditions. We can just be ourselves. And
absolutely.
What does the word yoga mean to you? There's all these funny definitions and many, many types of yoga. So what is for you, when I say the word is yoga, what is yoga for you?
Yoga to me is the alignment of my physical manifestation and my infinite being. So for each person, it would be the alignment between your infinite aspect and your finite aspect. And it's cool that you chose to call this interview about, you know, happiness and chanting, because the feeling of that alignment is happiness. So yoga, like what we call yoga for me, the physical poses that people are calling yoga, it's sort of funny because that's not yoga. Yoga is what you are supposed to get from that practice. It's that feeling of feeling connected. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is the same as meditation too, because when you sit and close your eyes, you're not meditating. But right. when you experience that connection, you are meditating.
Right. Yeah, a lot of times people get very confused with meditation and then contemplation and concentration. But I think you nailed it mm-hmm. to say that it's this blissful feeling of oneness, of deep connection. Mm-hmm. And I found this quote on your homepage that happiness has a momentum. Momentum is harnessing the energy that creates and maintains the cosmos. We all have momentum that drives our moments, but much of our momentum isn't working for us due to limiting beliefs that we have collected. So how can we rewrite those belief systems? A great question at the beginning of the year, and step into that empowered place of well-being. How do we rewrite those belief systems?
It took us a while to establish the habit that disallowed that, because mm-hmm. at our base, when we're born, that's the natural flow of things. So, you know, the first 7 years of life, they say, is when you get that programming that you then apply to everything if you're not being mindful. Mm-hmm. And so the answer to how do we recreate that momentum is you have to create new habits. Mm-hmm. And that's actually the reason why I started coaching people, because now I'm decided to become a spiritual coach on top of the things that I do. Nice. Is because it's really, thank you. It's difficult to learn a new habit in a 2-hour workshop, you know, that I've been teaching. Right. So the habit, you know, when you are creating momentum, it has to be daily. And it has to be moment to moment, you know, as much as possible, catching yourself in your old patterning and having tools that make that reprogramming easier. So it's a big, you know, it's a big thing to change habits, and it takes commitment and discipline and time. You know, or an instantaneous download that can happen too.
But yeah, when the channels open, right, it can happen fast, right? I mean, I am a big believer is that a lot of people don't realize that the voice has so many layers and levels of working through us, so that we begin with, you know, the inklings of ideas and belief systems, thought systems, writing voice, speaking voice, singing voice. These are all vibrational parts. And so do you use chanting often to reprogram or to anchor the affirmations or the mantras to create that sound mind, sound body alignment?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I find chanting to be a really amazing tool for reprogramming, because what you're doing is you are giving your mind something that is, you know, repetitive and also engaging. So it has this little train that you can, you know, I wouldn't say send it off onto, but it stays on. And in that focus, you're first off not thinking the unconscious, you know, patterned thoughts that mm-hmm. are not serving you. But you're also affirming a very uplifting vibration, which is then what sets that momentum that you were quoting me on, you know, into a faster motion. And what we want to leverage with momentum is that it becomes easier to default to the joy, the bliss, the peace, when you have a strong habit of it. So the more you go there, the easier it becomes, and it will, the universe will keep you there longer, and it will it just becomes a lot easier.
And isn't it fascinating that universe has unified verse? Right? Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting that we have sometimes the words around us but that are guiding the way, but we're not really tapped in or tuned into the fact that the universe has the word verse and poetry and almost the idea of what we have when we're chanting together in connecting our heart and our breath together in community or to ourselves, that it's already there for us. I mean, my experience is also mm-hmm. is that when we are toning or chanting, we are in the power of now, in the present moment. We're not thinking of struggles or the past, and that is a fantastic way to reprogram, to create new habits, but also to put the affirmations deeply into our bones, right? Because singing is connecting with every single cell in our body, and our whole brain is ignited. That's always what blows me away, right? It's not just a certain part of the brain, but it's like the whole being is mm-hmm. being lit up when we start to mm-hmm. sing.
Right? Yeah.
Fabulous. You are amazing. Exactly.
Oh, well, I'm enjoying this conversation. Thank you.
Yeah. So what is the name of your newest album that is now out of the market?
So my newest album I named -8. It looks like a minus sign and then the number 8. And I named it that because the guitarist, ukuleleist, bassist, he played almost every instrument on the album, Chad Wilkins, he's an amazing musician in his own right. He suggested when we started on it to tune it to 432. And I'd been hearing a lot of, you know, great stuff about 432 tuning. Mm-hmm. And so I said, yeah, sure, let's do that. So we tuned it in 432, and standard tuning is 440, as you know. So right, the difference right. is 8. So I named
wow.
it -8.
It's fascinating because we also have 8, of course, the symbol for infinity.
Yes.
So
I
we're going to take a very short station break, and we're going to be back with the sacred songstress Sirgun Kaur. Thank you.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life. a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. I'm Kara Johnstead, and we are in studio with the sacred songstress, Sirgun Kaur, talking about singing, yoga, and mantras as the key to happiness. Before the break, we were talking about setting good intentions and creating beautiful habits. And happiness, Dalai Lama said, happiness is not something ready-made. It comes from your actions, which is exactly what we were sharing, right? So, Sirgun, share with us your vision of why it's so important that happiness is a key ingredient. So many yogis are talking about peace. They're talking about silence. They're talking about calmness from the stress. And here you come along and say, hey, it's happiness. Happiness is my deep connection, my bliss. So why is that word happiness, that space, so important to you?
I wouldn't say that happiness is different from, you know, those other goals, peace. I think that those all encompass happiness. I mean, the reason we want to feel peace is because, and happiness and all these things, is we want to feel good. I mean, people want to feel good. I don't think anybody would argue with that. And when we are, you know, looking outside of ourselves so much of the time, we are looking at things that we think will bring us happiness. So I think it's a huge motivating factor. Mm-hmm. And I want people to understand that it's, you know, natural to their being, that it's not something that exists in an experience or in a thing, even though the feeling can be derived from, you know, all the experiences that we have on earth, because they're all, you know, valid. But that it is always indwelling and it's always accessible.
Yeah, and sometimes maybe people don't realize it is that they can have this feeling that when they have these strong, beautiful desires, let's say it's a desire to build a house or to get a new job or to have a new relationship, but if we don't put an object at the end of this and we just feel this beauty of pure bliss, tuning in, wanting to connect, wanting to expand, we can actually have this state without necessarily the, often what is the consumerism from our society, right? Mm. We can live a simple, beautiful life, because what we're seeking is actually those two things, this deep connection. I think for many people also a feeling of not only connecting back to themselves, but also connecting to a oneness, to an expansion. And when we're in that state, which we are when we're chanting or in meditation, then that happiness is there. And we often feel, at least I can say from my own path, that these other things, you know, it's not that we forbid it or it's not important. They're just not that important, right? Whether you have three rooms or two rooms or or a fancy job or not, because you realize you have that state of being.
And indeed, I would add to that too, that when you're in that state of appreciating where you are and feeling really good, then all of the things that you want anyway will come really easily. And you start to figure out, you know, because they will come, the things come, but then we figure out, well, did I really want that? Or did I just want that because I felt it was going to alter my exterior, which I thought would alter my interior? or, you know, making me happier. So, you know, there's refinements that go on through our whole life. And I think that's the fun journey of being in physical form and getting to go through this amazing world where, you know, we get to, I believe we choose our reality. So one of the, you know, things that I don't think a lot of people are talking about is that when you're in these blissful states, yes, you don't need as much, but all the things that you want are attracted to you because you are setting a vibration for a beautiful existence. And so your outer world starts to reflect that, that beauty that you feel.
Yeah, well said. So I would love our listening audience to hear the beauty of your voice. Some of them know your voice very well. Others are just getting to know you. I'm not sure if the next track does come from your latest Minus 8 album. It's entitled Ramadasa. Would you like to say a few words about this recording before we listen in?
Sure. Ramadasa is a Kundalini yoga mantra for healing. And in Kundalini yoga, we use the mantras with different physical postures, too, to create certain, you know, energetic positions in the body. And we can use this one for healing on ourselves or for setting an intention for somebody else. And the words mean the sun, the moon, the earth, infinity. I am that.
Nice. The sun, the moon, the earth, infinity, I am that. Ramadasa. Let's listen in to Sergun's newest. It's off of your new album, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, let's listen in.
Ram
Well, Sirgun Kaur, you're listening to Voice Rising. We are back in studio with Sirgun, and you're listening to a track off of the newest album, Minus Eight. It was entitled Rama Dasa. And so we've been talking about how voice and chanting has this ability to fine-tune our body. And we know that the voice is considered by many to be the first instrument. It is portable, very available. Mm-hmm. My question is, I guess, there's probably no one on, well, I mean, I guess there are many people on planet Earth, but you are definitely doing a lot of yoga and chanting and singing and aligning and tuning. Do you ever have those days when it's difficult to get in tune? Because not only is the voice the first instrument and portable, but it's the only instrument connected to our bloodstream. It is very sensitive to the emotional landscapes, to air conditioning, to the wrong food, to everything possible. Mm-hmm. So do you ever have those moments, even though you're doing all these wonderful things, where you feel that you're stuck?
Of course. Yeah, I think that the biggest realization for me in starting to work with other people, with clients, is that mm-hmm. having an acceptance that my life is going to, you know, go through dips and peaks like everybody else's. It's not like you have to be perfect to do what I'm doing, and nobody is. But that my resilience has become so much stronger. So now, whereas before I would get into a mood funk, you know, however I got there, and it would stay like that for a long time, and I would hate myself for it, and I would, you know, add insult to injury by adding all this judgment on top of it. Now I can just go, all right, you know, I feel this way. It's not going to last forever. And I'm sure something great will, you know, I will realize something as a result. So that has changed my attitude around being human. And mm-hmm. As far as my voice goes, I actually, in the past few years, have no longer been a person who gets throat illnesses. So for my whole life, well, I'm not sure it was my whole life, but I can remember into my preteen years mm-hmm. till about a few years from today, every year I would get at least two throat illnesses. So I would get some sort of strep throat, or, you know, that would leave me out of commission, out of singing for weeks, because there's the time that you're sick, and then there's the time that you're recovering, and then you're not quite sounding so great after you're recovered. Mm-hmm. So that would be a really big deal for me as a singer. And I just made the decision that I was going to not be the kind of person that, you know, had that happen to me. I decided to change my habit of thought around the, you know, my health concerning my voice. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the first noticeable differences, actually, that happened for me when I decided to do the kind of work that I'm doing, is that my immunity got so much stronger. So now that's not something that I deal with, but the emotions are always present, and they're not always aligned with joy. And when I say that I work with my clients on, you know, finding happiness, that doesn't mean that anybody should expect to feel happy all the time. That wouldn't even feel good, because you really need the contrast for it to, you know, feel good. And that's why we have a physical existence, where we get to experience so much variety and,
and keep coming back. Exactly. And the throat, again, with all the layers of the throat, it's like a portal, right? So which is sitting right above the heart. So the one thing is the integration of the emotions. But the other thing is, I'm sure that you also shifted in your practice with what we take into our body. I'm sure maybe your food has changed, your nutrition has changed, your also what you're digesting is what I always talk to people about, is their sound bites, you know, like what are we, what vibration are we accepting also? And I think a lot of people are not aware that they're surrounded often by what can be. I'm sure we're magicians and alchemists, we might be able to transform it, but with, let's say, the news channel running in the background, that we are absorbing these vibrations, and it's not easy then to stay well. So that's where
I would say the negative sound bites, like the news, are, in my experience, far more disruptive to digestion and health than a piece of cake.
Right.
I've actually found in my, you know, in my process of doing what I do, that I'm able to eat things that I thought that I wasn't able to. I have a pretty healthy diet. But I've also learned to be a little gentler with myself in aligning my thought pattern with whatever I am choosing to put into my body. So if I'm deciding to eat a cookie, then I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to feel good about it.
Beautiful.
And that makes a big difference in the in the digestion of it.
To let go of the shame and the guilt. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a small station break and then be back with Zirgun and talk more about the voice and meditation, chanting, and happiness in just a few minutes.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
So welcome back, everybody. This is Kara Johnstad, and I am in studio with Zirgun Kaur, and we are talking about chanting and happiness. And Zirgun, you've released 5 albums, I believe. You've released -8, Reclaim Your Happiness, Dayal, The Cosmic Gift, and The Music Within. And one of the tracks that you've released is called Total Surrender. And I know that a lot of people out there might be a little bit nervous about this idea of surrendering totally. So what is the quality of surrendering completely that draws you in?
Well, I think one of the biggest aha moments that I had, because this was a question that I asked myself for the longest time, was, so are we meant to plan out our future consciously, or do we just allow the universe to guide us? And I didn't have an answer for a very long time until I discovered Abraham Hicks, and I really connected to their teachings. And what I got from it was that it's both that are happening simultaneously, because in every instant when we are observing our world, we are sending out prayers, in a sense. We are making choices about what we prefer and what we envision for ourselves. But it isn't until we surrender to our soul, to source, to the universe, that we trust that we will get there. It isn't until we have that surrender that we are in that receptive mode that those things can actually unfold easily, because we get to set the vibration for our life, but then the universe gets to fill it in. And so that's what that song is about. And that's the kind of surrender that I'm talking about.
Which is very precious, because I think that is one of the biggest keys. We get to set the vibration for our lives, and then the universe fills it in. So the setting the vibration is very powerful magic. So let's listen to that track, Total Surrender, by Sigan Kaur. This is Kara Johnstead, and we're listening to Siogun, Kara, and that was Total Surrender. And I'm leading into a very crazy question. I was reading your homepage, Siogun, and you have said that, I think you do a lot of workshops also, a lot of beautiful workshops for anybody out there. You're more than welcome. I'm going to give her homepage in a second. But when the clutter clears, happiness is what floats to the surface. It's our natural state, our default setting. Children know it feels good to feel good. And so this is what I'm really curious about. So I too think that happiness and joy is our natural state. And I think that kids can definitely show us a way to happiness and bliss and laughter and dance. And yet I got a little bit stuck on this when clutter clears, because I guess I've lived with kids, and I think you also are living with children, I believe. And it seems like it's a never-ending clearing of clutter, and yet the bliss is always there, right? And I know many enlightened artists that have paintbrushes all over the place and stacks of paper. Mm. And some of my best friends, when they feel really, really happy, they're babbling like a brook. Lots of nonsense that makes absolutely no sense, but they're just full of what some might call clutter, but other people would call it creative bliss. So talk about that. Can we find happiness in the middle of creative madness, or do we have to first take some time to clear the clutter?
No, of course. I'm talking about mental clutter.
Very good.
The physical clutter is it just really depends on if that's going to bother you, really depends on your personality, you know, because we can all live in different sorts of environments and feel great or not great about them. But yeah, I mean, that the painter's workshop is such a great visual, because there are artists who can only work in perfectly serene environments. And then there are those who thrive in mess. But I think what unifies those, you know, visionaries and those creators is that they are focused mentally on their alignment with their source in the creation of their art. And so their mental clutter is clear in that moment.
Right.
They are creating.
Beautiful.
In other words, they aren't adding,
Yeah, no, it's beautifully said. You said it very beautifully. It's the mental clutter. It's true, and that many of the artists that I know that do have a little bit of a craziness in their studios, it's often because they are so clear and so focused and so in one with their message that they don't even see that maybe that the coffee cups have been sitting there for days, because they're so in their music, right? They're so focused on the beauty that's in the room that they don't even think of the day-to-day anymore. So what's one daily practice that you do that aligns you to source and helps you create from that beautiful place of high creativity, of silence and sound, where that merges? What do you have a daily practice that you do every single day?
I do a meditation in the morning. I do live with two small children, so sometimes I have to make them cereal and stuff like that before I get that done. Or if I'm lucky, I wake up before they do, and I get to do that before they wake up. And I don't always have time, but I like to do some yoga before that. And I do a prayer that comes from the Sikh tradition called Japji each day. Which I love. It takes about 15 minutes, and at this point I know it by heart. So I get to recite that along with a recording, or, you know, just as I'm doing tasks around the house. Ideally, you would be sitting and reciting it, but I have had to adjust my practice to my lifestyle. And that keeps me good. As my children get older, my practice will probably expand a little, but I found with having babies and not quite knowing what sort of sleep situation I'm going to have, that I choose sleep first. And then I meditate when I am able, and I do yoga when I can. Yeah.
Yeah, which sounds I was lost in the German language here for a second, but it sounds very, I don't want to say practical, but I think it's good to stay flexible, that our spirituality and our practice should be adapting to where we're at, right? And not that we have this, again, this guilt and this, you know, there might be a birthday cake, or there might be three nights where one didn't get enough sleep, and that's okay. That is also, you know, that's also all just fine, right? So I'd like to, maybe you can share with our audience the homepage where they can see all these amazing workshops and your albums, and also you're performing, I believe, all across the world. I'm not sure how you do that with two beautiful children that are small, but I know that you are doing concerts and perhaps retreats. So what is your homepage?
So my website is my name, sirgunkaur.com, and that's spelled sirgunkaur.com. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Yay. Nice. Mm-hmm. And if you had, we are in a time of a lot of transition. So if you had one message for our world, I'm sure there are many messages that you have for our world, and I'm sure that many of those messages are, you can find also in your beautiful songs that you are writing and in your teachings. But if you do have a message for our world, what would you share with people?
Oh gosh, that felt like a lot of pressure, and then all of a sudden I thought about this Jewel lyric, so I guess it's not really mine, but it's what came to me, where she says in a song, if I could tell the world just one thing, it's that we're all okay. And that came to me too, that it's okay. We're doing okay. Nothing's going disastrously. Everybody is, you know, growing, and we're discovering, and things are a lot less serious than we make them out to be.
Right, as long as we're still breathing, right? Mm-hmm. We can be dancing or laughing, or even no matter if there's, the sky is falling, but we can still find ways to stay connected. And as a singer, songwriter, performer, and now a spiritual teacher, but what is one thing about voice that you'd love to share? Because a lot of people don't know how wondrous this instrument really is. And you're somebody who works with this all the time, the voice channel, the fifth chakra, expression, wellness. Is there something that you would love to share with people about the voice itself?
Yeah, I would say that and everybody can sing. Children know that. Children have to be told that they have a quote unquote good or bad voice. Mm-hmm. But naturally they love the sound of their voice. And it's really natural for us to love the sound of our own voice. It's the sound of our soul. And fostering that relationship is really freeing and feels really good and normal.
I think so too. What would you say to all those people that feel, there's a lot of people out there that remember that place as a child that they felt so free and they love the sound of the voice, and then somehow through their conditionings or through their life path, they started feeling tight or they started worrying about it, and they can't come back to that place of feeling free, and they shame themselves. So they're not sure that their sound is okay. Would you keep on? I mean, I would, of course, encourage them. I think you would too, that everybody can sing. But is there a key moment to say, just start even though it's cracking and tight and shaking? Mm. I mean, is there something
group chanting is really great for that, because when you show up at a chant event, everybody around you, most of them are not going to be trained singers. Mm-hmm. Most of them are not going to be what they, you know, calling themselves singers, but they're, most of them will be singing. So you'll be surrounded by people who, by are our crazy standards have quote unquote, you know, or most of them don't have quote unquote good voices. And I really don't believe that anybody has a good or bad voice, because the quality of your voice is a reflection of how connected you feel to it. So, we have so many singers. It's funny we even have that concept, because we have so many singers that we admire and that have shifted consciousness that do not have trained voices, and they're doing just fine.
Oh, Sigrun, it was really a great pleasure to get to know you a little bit more and to listen into all your music this past week. I wish you all the best, lots of success. Thank you for being with me here at Voice Rising. And here's to more healing and more voice work and more songs, more beauty.
Thank you so much, Cara. It's a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.